When you want to make progress and you want to go forward, but you feel like something is not allowing you to make progress, it's a frustrating place to be.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Pastor Mark, we've been here in the city for 30 years. God's done incredible things. And not everybody realizes that when they tune in to the program, everything that's happening here in the city. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we're really excited. Of course, there's great churches around the city of Chicago that we partner with. But we at New Life Community Church are also, we have a vision to see the city of Chicago transformed. So we've been planting. We actually have 40 worship services that happen in and around the city of Chicago every Sunday in Spanish, in English, in Mandarin, and 24 locations. But we have a vision to plant in the next 4 years. In the next 4 years, we have a vision to plant another 30 locations in the city of Chicago.
I'm sorry, hold on. Can you say that again?
Yeah, that's what I think about, Joshua. So this is stretching to us. It's a massive endeavor. It involves people and leaders and finances. But we believe that great cities like Chicago need life-giving communities of faith rooted in neighborhoods that are preaching the gospel and helping to bring the culture, the kingdom of God to those neighborhoods.
Yeah, and I grew up in the faith here. I've been here 18 years, over half my life now, so figure that one out. And what drew me in was the vision and the passion to just to live real Christianity and what that looks like. And I just love the vision here to reach 1% of the city of Chicago. It's a phenomenal task. And also to reach cities, global cities around the world. And so if you're out there today, you don't have a home church, you've been listening, or maybe you're just tuning in today and you're looking for a place to grow. Like Pastor Mark said, a lot of great churches in the city, but we would love to meet you. Go to newlifechicago.org and find a new life near you and come and be a part of it. And if you feel like you have a call in your life, Pastor Mark, is there room for people who feel like, man, I think God may want to use me to be a church planter?
We are looking to raise, train church planters, especially that have a heart for the city of Chicago. So contact us. We'd love to talk to you, love to meet with you.
You can find information about church planting and getting in connection with us at newlifecities.org. And you can fill out a report there and get right in touch with us, and we'd love to meet you. But now, let's get into today's message.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's current series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. And our message today is called, How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty? Our text will be found in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Let's get right into the Word with Pastor Mark on today's edition of Straight Talk.
I don't know if anybody here has ever felt stuck before, but it's not a great feeling to feel stuck because when you want to make progress and you want to go forward, but you feel like something is keeping you back, something is not allowing you to make progress, it's a frustrating place to be. Maybe you've been in a job situation where you have worked hard and you've worked your tail off trying to just do a good job, and you feel because of the politics of your job that you're stuck. That you can't get ahead anymore. You can't go forward. You can't move up to the next position because there's politicking and biased at your job. And it gets frustrating because you feel like, I should be moving forward, but I can't. You feel stuck. When I was younger, I lived in a small village in northern Spain. And just a few kilometers away from our village, there were some caves known as Las Cuevas de Atapuerca. They've actually become famous caves because they discovered some tribal artifacts and prehistoric skulls and so forth, and have built a big museum. But back in those days, they were just caves for me. And as a young boy, I knew those caves pretty well. I would go caving with flashlights, and we would go under this underground system that would go miles and miles. And Some of the places you'd have to drag yourself through these small tunnels. And I remember taking some people with me. And on one occasion, having someone that never been in the caves before, and they crawled through this small tunnel, and they felt like they got stuck. Now, it's a bad feeling when you're underground in the dark going through a small tunnel and you feel like I can't go forward, I can't go backward, and they began to panic and hyperventilate. And we had to calm them down and finally pull them out of there because, hey, it's a tough feeling like I'm stuck when I should be moving forward, but I can't move forward. Well, in Mark chapter 10, we find the story of a man that was stuck. His name is Bartimaeus. Bar in the Greek means son, and Timaeus means of high honor. So his name was son of high honor. This is towards the final days of Jesus, and he was making his way towards Jerusalem, going through a town by the name of Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. And this was the final week of Jesus' ministry on earth. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew what he expected to see. He anticipated that he would be betrayed, that he'd be crucified. And in the final days leading up to that, in fact, the very next thing that we see in this passage is the triumphal entry, what we call Palm Sunday, and we'll be talking about that next week. But Palm Sunday is when the crowds shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" And they threw palm figs and leaves and cloaks in front of him as he came through. Well, Jesus was leading up to that. His disciples were with him. His mindset was getting focused. He was on a mission. And in the middle of this focused mindset, this serious cloud that was settling over him and his disciples as he rushed out of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, there's an account that captures the attention of Jesus. It tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, then they came to Jericho. Now there was the old Jericho. Do you remember that in the Old Testament? Joshua and the walls of Jericho, where the walls came tumbling down and that city was devastated. There was the old ruins of Jericho, and then there was a new Jericho that had been built. And they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, this is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Now I want to give you some principles that I see out of this passage that apply to us. And you may not be blind this morning, but there's a lot of different handicaps or things that paralyze our life besides physical blindness. And if you are stuck this morning in your spiritual life or progress, then you need to write these principles down because I think they will be applicable to you today. Number one, you must not allow the people around you to discourage the intensity of your pursuit of God. Notice that Bartimaeus, this blind man, we discover later on in the passage that it seems like he had not been blind all his life because the use of the Greek word later on refers to him recovering his sight as though he had sight at one time and lost it. This man, there was no social security system in those days. There was no system to take care of handicapped people in those days. So he was blind, and the only way that he could survive was off begging. That means that he would get up in the morning, And he would go to a street corner that he thought there would be a lot of people on. And he would sit down in a corner. And he would put a cup or his blanket out there. And he would depend on the charity of the people passing by, the compassion of the crowd, to throw a few coins in his direction. He was poor. He was stuck. He wasn't there because he chose to be there. He was there because of circumstances in life that caused him to end up there. Son of high honor. Maybe when he was born, his parents had high expectations that he would achieve something in life. Because in the Jewish culture, you would name your child based on what you thought they would be or become. Oftentimes, it was almost like a prophetic name. And he had been named Son of High Honor. Maybe in his life, his parents had dreamed that he would rise up in the social strata of life and make something for himself, that he would be an honored citizen of that country. Maybe they expected that he would earn wealth and be a businessman or achieve a high degree as a doctor or a lawyer or some other high honored position in society. And so they had named him with the expectation that he would be somebody. That people one day would look at him and consider him a person of high honor. And now this man, Bartimaeus, a son of high honor, was a beggar. It seemed like the very opposite of what his parents expected of him. The very antithesis of their dreams and desires was manifest in this man, now their son who could not survive on his own. Now their son who neighbors walked by and pitied him. With a sad nod of their head, they would throw a few coins in his jar and pity his parents and pity his family because this man was now stuck. And it's in this context that Jesus, on his final way to his final hour, pauses and deals with blind Bartimaeus. Now, this account is found in three of the Gospels. It's found in this passage. It's also found in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34, and in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. And when there's a narrative in the gospel, when there's a story in the gospel, you understand that it's there for a reason. That every story in Scripture is there for a purpose and a reason. There's a lesson. There's a principle.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message entitled, How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty? Which is from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Our message is called, How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty?
Something that applies to us. Something that 2,000 years later we can learn from, extract from, and apply to where we are today. Because none of Scripture is put there randomly or arbitrarily. God has a purpose and a plan for every word in Scripture, every story in Scripture. And there's a lesson and a plan and a principle in the story of blind Bartimaeus. The Bible says that he began to call out. When he knew that Jesus was coming through and there was a large crowd, he began to call out. It says that right there, sitting on his blanket in the usual place of begging, he began to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Someone told him that Jesus would be passing by. He had asked the crowd, what's the commotion? Some would say it's the Nazarene. He's coming through here. The Nazarene, I've heard about him. Yeah, yeah, he's the one. We think he's the Messiah. People say that he's raised the dead. Others say that he's touched people and made him walk. He has words like we've never heard before. As the crowd runs by, people walking and moving, Bartimaeus stays there and he hears the swell of the crowd get louder and louder and louder. And this blind beggar begins to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In fact, he begins to scream out the name of Jesus. He begins to call out in a loud, screechy, commotion voice. In fact, the Bible says that he becomes so loud that the crowd around him begins to tell him, "Quiet!" Look what it says. It tells us that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It says that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. The word in the Greek there, the verbiage is they commanded him, "Be quiet. Be quiet. You're causing a disturbance. Quiet. You're embarrassing yourself. Hey, get in line. There's a lot of people that want to see Jesus." I don't know. Have you ever been in a crowd somewhere where there's maybe a celebrity and someone that's just hysterical to see that celebrity, and they're just like really loud? A while back, a friend of ours got selected for Extreme Makeover in their house. Do you remember that? Right over here in Chicago. And so, in fact, a lot of the New Life people got involved in tearing out the demo and so forth. And this is Extreme Makeover where they go in and they rehab your house. And so my wife said, "Hey, we know the people. Let's go there and show up on that day." So she dragged me out there. And so she wanted to say, "Move that boss." And so I'm there with my kids, and we're there, and we know the family, and so we're excited about that. And so the host of the show, the spiked hair, good-looking tie, comes out running to greet people. And there was a couple young girls right beside me, behind me, that when they saw Ty, they were like, "Ty!" And started screaming and yelling and waving, "Ty! Ty!" And one of them especially was very hysterical about it, screaming to the top, "Ty, over here!" And waving her arms and making a commotion. And I'm trying to sit there and going deaf in one ear, and she's making a commotion, and I want to tell her, "Pipe down, gal, calm down." She's out of control. This blind man's out of control, screaming, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now everybody's around, everybody wants to see Jesus, but this man especially is way out of control in wanting to see Jesus, and the people around him are telling him to be quiet. He's making such a commotion that people are ordering him, commanding him, telling him that he needs to be quiet, shut up, because he is just out of control. Let me tell you something. You must not allow the people around you to discourage the intensity of your pursuit of God. Let me tell you why. We are all desperate for God, but we don't know we're desperate for Him. Every single one of us here has a desperate need for God to be involved in our lives. We desperately need the touch of God, the voice of God, the hand of God, the move of God in our life. But oftentimes we don't realize how desperate we are until we encounter a crisis. You see, I understand that even if everything's going well in your life, even if your finances are okay, even if you seem to be making progress in your life, here's the reality. You desperately need God, whether you know it or not. You desperately need Him. But chances are, Many of us don't realize how desperately we need God until we encounter a crisis. You see, crises in our life have a way of magnifying our need of God. We get a report back from the doctor, a bad report from the doctor, and suddenly it intensifies the reality of how much we need God. We find something out about our spouse and our marriage is spiraling out of control, and suddenly we awaken to the fact, oh God, I desperately need you. We get the pink slip at work and have bills that are overwhelming us, and suddenly we realize how much we need God. Usually it's a crisis in our life. Usually it's the awareness of our own desperation that causes the intensity of our life to go up. And let me tell you, there'll be people around you that don't want you to be intense about your pursuit of God. There'll be crowds around you that think you're a little fanatical. Like you're going a little overboard. Just nod at me if you know what I'm talking about. How many of you have family members and friends saying, hey, you're getting a little too into it, aren't you? I mean, it's okay. I'm glad you're going to church, but come on. Like, do you really have to, like, read your Bible on a regular basis? I mean, do you have to turn on that radio stuff? Do you have to be? I mean, you're getting a little overboard, aren't you? I mean, I'm religious too, but you seem like, hey, you're just, like, really into this. Hey, weren't you just at church last week? How come you have to go again? What's up with that? You see, because oftentimes the crowd around us will try to discourage the intensity of our pursuit of God. Imagine what would have happened if this blind man would have listened to the crowd. Imagine if he would have become self-conscious and said, well, maybe I shouldn't shout out as loud. Maybe I shouldn't press in as much. Maybe I shouldn't pursue God. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm becoming a little fanatical. Maybe I should not be so intense in my walk, in my pursuit, in my trying to reach out to God. And what if he would have quieted down? What if he had allowed the crowd to make him stay in his place where they expected him to be? I believe that he would never have encountered Jesus if he had allowed the crowd to quiet him down. Here's what I want you to understand about Jesus. I love this about Jesus. I love the fact that Jesus is never put off by people that intensely seek him. I mean, Jesus calls him. He hears him screaming in the crowd and he says, "Call him to me." Do you remember the four men that bring the paralytic before Jesus and he's in the house and they make a hole in the roof? Jesus isn't put off by that. Jesus honors their faith because when people are seriously, intensely seeking after God, the Bible says that the heart of God responds to people that are desperate for him. You know what it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13? It says, "You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You know what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, but he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Diligently means that you are passionate, earnest, serious about seeking him. You see, a lot of people don't find God because they're not intense enough, serious enough, diligent enough to pursue him. See, a lot of people want a little religion sprinkled on their life, but they don't want to get serious about seeking God. A lot of people want a little bit of religion and a little bit of God, but I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to go to an altar and get on my knees. After all, people may think I have problems. Hello.
Join us again on Straight Talk for the second half of our program called How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty? As we continue on in our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.